The big question in business, is the housing crisis even worse than we thought?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At the top of the hour, we're going to get a glimpse at housing prices in major cities all across the country. The last Case-Shiller Home Price Index was a big, fat downer. But bad enough as it was, there are reports today that say selling your house is even tougher than you might have thought. Reporter Janet Babin is with us now live to talk about it this morning. Hi, Janet.
Good morning, Steve.
All right. So are you telling me the housing crisis was actually worse than we thought? I mean, how is that even possible?
It's possible. There are reports that the National Association of Realtors overstated existing home sales figures, maybe going back several years now. Take 2010, for example. According to NAR data, existing home sales fell 5%. But according to another data collecting firm, CoreLogic, existing home sales in 2010 fell more than twice that, by about 12%.
All right.
Big discrepancy.
Yeah, that
there
is a big discrepancy. So we're also getting word this morning, Janet, that former executives at the failed Washington Mutual Bank, WAMU, as we all know it, could face $1 billion in legal claims related to home loans that were fraudulent. Does that connect?
Yeah, it looks like there could be more stones to unturn here. Bank expert Christopher Whalen with Institutional Risk Analytics expects we'll see more litigation from the FDIC against bank officers eventually.
The real question to me is, why haven't we seen similar actions that we're talking about here with Washington Mutual for the top four banks? Because that's where the real criminality has occurred. Start with Citi and work your way down.
Down, Whalen says, to J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. The FDIC would not comment this morning on that WAMU matter.
Steve? Janet Babin reporting live for us this morning. Janet, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see the numbers. Well, global markets are mostly lower right now. Asian stocks tumbled today after Moody's cut Japan's outlook. Another credit rating agency, Standard & Poor's, downgraded Libya's debt because of unrest there. Oil's trading about, $92 a barrel. No trading yesterday on Wall Street for President's Day, but everyone's back in business in about 37 minutes or so. Home Depot today reported its profit rose more than 70% in the last 3 months. Hewlett-Packard also reports later today. It's going to be HP's first check-in under the wing of its recently chosen CEO, Leo Apotheker. Now, last summer, the company was caught in the middle of a very public sexual harassment scandal. CEO Mark Hurd stepped down. So how's the company faring under new management? Here's reporter Sally Herships.
Many analysts expect HP to post strong results today, but Crawford Del Pret with IDC says Leo Apotheker can't take all the credit.
He deserves the credit for keeping the team stable, but really, it's not as if we saw major changes in the strategy over the last quarter.
Instead, Del Pret says it's the staff Apotheker inherited.
That management team had their boss leave in a big transition and continued to execute really, really well.
Del Pret says the team has overseen development of new products like a touchpad tablet due out this summer. Apotheker is the former CEO of software maker SAP, and he wants HP, a company still better known for printers, to focus more on software.
They're not known for this.
Shane Greenstein teaches technology industry management at Northwestern University.
So a big question for anybody who watches them is whether they're going to be successful at doing that.
Like most other tech companies these days, HP wants to take on Apple's iPad. And Greenstein says HP hopes having its own hardware and software will be an advantage. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
In France, the fishing economy has taken a big hit after fishermen began striking over a European-wide ban limiting the export of eels. Christopher Worth now reports the species is harder to catch these days because there aren't a whole lot of them left.
A good place to begin this story is here at this old traditional jellied eel shop in London's East End, where owner Bob Cook is dishing out my first ever bowl of stewed eels.
There's your eels there.
I couldn't bring myself to order the jellied ones. They just looked too slimy.
Parsley sauce. How's that for you?
Eels used to be a cheap, popular dish among London's working poor, but these days, Cook's shop is usually empty.
Look at the time. 12:15. You're my first customer.
Today, the demand for eels comes from aquaculture farms in China, where a pound of live baby eels from Europe can fetch as much as $500. Lucrative for fishermen, but worrying for conservationists like Heidi Stone of the UK's Environment Agency. She says the number of baby eels returning from the open seas has dropped over 90%, and no one is sure why.
It's not one thing. It's going to be a combination of factors. Climate change, overfishing, lack of habitat.
As a result, the European Union banned the export of eels last year. That meant fishermen in France, where most eel fishing takes place, were making a lot less money, and they weren't happy about it. But here at one of the last remaining eel fisheries in the UK, owner Peter Wood is happy the ban is in place.
This fishery has been very good to the people working in it, and we need to make sure that it's available for future generations.
Most of his eels go towards restocking Europe's depleted waterways, but he says the demand from China has driven up the cost of eels and that kind of restoration.
It has simply just been a take process to Asia.
Here in Europe, the EU lifted the ban for a few months last year under pressure from the French fishing industry. Now the ban is back in place. Wood says this time he hopes it sticks. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, it's amazing how video games have changed over the years. This is what I remember as a kid. I used to hear that sound a lot playing Pac-Man. Well, the Smithsonian Museum in Washington wants to showcase those games, like Pac-Man, in a new exhibit, The Art of Video Games. Oh, I can just hear the critics now. Oh, that Halo 2 sure has great color and texture. You can vote for which games you think should be included in the exhibit. We have a link to that at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The typical career of an NFL player is about 4 years, so a lockout is more than just a contract dispute. It could mean idling for a quarter of your career.
So when you talk about taking benefits and taking money away and not having a season, that's not sitting good with me.
I'm Tess Vigeland, the Freakonomics of Football, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.